All right, couple of announcements real quick. I know some people walked out to go use the restroom, but here's the dealio, y'all. Hey, y'all see these boxes sitting over here? Operation Christmas Child. There's 45 of them. Sweet. I just counted. Yeah, so today was the deadline for that as far as getting them here. Where is Tanya? There you are. Come here real quick. So what happens if I'm like, oh my gosh, I left my box at home. What do I do? Oh, look at this.
If you left your box at home or you still want to put one together, I have drop-off locations for the Valley, Eagle River, and Anchorage today and tomorrow. But you have to look at the times for each location to see when they're going to be open. Tomorrow is the very last day. And we do still have boxes to give away if you want more boxes.
Yep. Here's what I want to do, though. Before the children go, because I want y'all to be a part of this. Sorry, Sandra, you got them lined up nice and kind of there. I want to pray over these really quickly. So everybody get up. This is I guess I'm a little bossy today, but get up. Let's pray over these. Believe that the Lord is going to land them where they need to be to have the greatest impact. Teenagers, don't be shy. Get your rumps down here. If you don't want to come out of your seat, it's okay. Just extend your hand. Join with us. Let's pray over these and believe for what God wants to do in and through them. What an amazing opportunity to bless and give. So, Father, we are truly thankful for the opportunity that we have, God, to be your hands and feet. Lord, we pray that as these boxes go out and others, millions and millions of boxes go out to children who are in places where they get nothing, I pray, God, that your word, first of all, as these boxes are opened, that your word would just come forth, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in a mighty way. I pray, God, for tremendous salvations, for, Lord, just people coming to a place of knowing you through these boxes. God, I pray that these would land exactly where you want them to be, that they would find the child that you designed them to find. We give them, Lord, just a blessing today to be overflowing with your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for the opportunity. Bless these boxes in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for giving, for participating in that. Again, if you need information of where to go, if you didn't bring a box or you want to get involved, see Tanya after the service or John, and they can tell you where to take those. All right, kiddos, y'all can go. Youth are staying in. You thought you were off the hook, but you ain't. All right, kids, y'all left. Cool. Okay. Listen, this is the most important announcement you're ever going to hear in your whole life because it has to do with my wife. So, Christmas of Hope. We're doing Christmas of Hope December 14th, and we need your help. Oh, yeah, they should. Y'all should come down here. It's a free event. The flight's not free, but you should come. Anyway, we need help with, we need some people to bake some stuff, we need some people to bring some, we're doing big giveaways. Sage and I bought these big suitcase, Christmas suitcase things, and we're going to fill them full of stuff to be able to bless some families, and we need some help filling those things. So Sage has a list of things that we need. Here's the deal. Even if you're already helping, and you're like, man, I need to help some more, we need your help. If you're a guy, don't think you can't bake, because you can. This is not just a girl's job. This is, so, in the back of the foyer, in the foyer, we have three tables that have sign-up sheets. And if you don't sign up, and I know how to spell your name, I might write it on there. So you might as well just go out and sign up so I don't have to try to spell your name. On a serious note, you really should help. Ooh.
So Rachel has set up times to go to Three Bears and with teens to personally hand out invites, face-to-face, connecting with people.
We got some awesome flyers.
Yes, we did, thanks to Sandra and Hi-Rez. Yes. So we need some adult volunteers. Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you guys... Okay, this is next Saturday, 30th, from 11 to 7.
And Sunday, 8.
Right.
2 to 6.
Perfect. So talk to Rachel if you can do that. The other thing is maybe you just don't have time to do that, and that's okay because every single one of you guys is going to hand out 5 invites to somebody face-to-face, okay?
I was just getting into watching you. Friday nights. 7 o'clock. Youth, yay. Teenagers. Friday nights. I know, right? Yes. Thank you for speaking up. Saturday or Friday nights, 7 o'clock. You should come and be a part of that. Volleyball, Monday nights, 7 o'clock. Come and join and laugh or play. And don't get hurt because... Matt Adams would shoot me. Anyway, food pantry, Wednesdays, 4 to 5 o'clock, right, Denise? Yes, and clothing closet, once a month, Fridays, this Friday. Okay, so we need help. Come out, give Denise some help, and that is from 3 to 6. Wow, look, see? Pow, right there. Last thing, Sheridish next week. It's not December 8th. Sorry, not next week. The week after. Golly, you shouldn't have me up here. December 8th, Sheridish. Come bring me something good to eat and join with us. Let's have fun. And yeah, so without further ado, I'm going to say that one more time. Y'all need some hope up in here. Men of Hope, the 30th, which is also Saturday. Maybe at the end of that, we might go help at Three Bears. Who knows? You might have a whole bunch of men show up. I know, right? Come to Christmas, I hope. No. This Saturday, though, is going to be a breakfast. So we've got 9 a.m. here. There's going to be some good grub and then some good food spiritually after that. So, yeah, Men of Hope this Saturday. Don't miss it. If you know somebody who's a man, tell them to come. Yeah. Bill. Are we turning this over to Bill?
Yeah, we are.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. I told him he could have 5 minutes of
okay.
fire.
Okay, perfect. I love this man.
You guys know this guy?
We do.
You know what I call him, right? Anybody know who I call him? The Prince of Alaska. That's what I call him. Because this guy has got a vision and not anything is going to stop him. To see all of Alaska know Jesus. And, you know, I'm just so excited to be a part of seeing what's happening up here. And it's been like 14 years now that Bill and I have ran together.
Ran together.
We've been running. Wow. We've been running headlong into things. And we've been helping each other up when we fall off to the side. We've been helping each other up and keep moving. And so Bill has something to share that's really big on his heart, vision. And so I... Release you, Bill.
Somebody say fire!
Fire!
Oh, come on, you do better than that. Fire!
Fire!
Yeah, like Jonathan said, I have 5 minutes of fire, so I'm going to throw it down just for a few minutes. But see, it's partly your fault that I have this fire. You have to know that. Sage, Zach, Jody, Josh, I mean, gosh, you know, you guys have prayed for us. You sent us around north, south, east, and west of Alaska. We are seeing revival happen in Alaska. Carrie the Cure has been to 120 different villages in Alaska since Jonathan has partnered with me. He's been to about half of those. But I tell you, the glory of God is increasing. The fire of God is falling. And it is undeniable that we are in a season of harvest. We're in a season of God's favor. And like I said, this is partly your fault. Man, I mean, and I love your name, Bridge of Hope. Come on, man, you are the bridge. You are the conduit. Man, you are the door to God's presence. Man, and I keep thinking of that song, you know. Take me to the bridge. God, it'll take you where you live. You have to listen to some Tower Power. But I'm telling you what, man, you are the bridge, man. If you have Christ burning within you, man, people can't help but get to where they need to go. They get to Christ. They get to know His goodness. They get to know His love, like Jonathan's going to talk about. It is undeniable. That's you. Christ in you. Christ in me. Colossians 1:27 says that it is the glory of God. Christ in you. Right? Okay. So there's a little bit of fire. Now I want to tell you about something called the Bethel blessing. Now many of you know when Bethel happened, right? In the Bible. Okay. In Genesis, we're going way, way back. Okay. And so then there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know. And Jacob, you know what Jacob means, right? Liar, deceiver. Man, he was no good at first. He deceives, you know, his brother and he for the birthright, and he tricks his father. And he's running from his father. He's running from his brother because his brother wants to kill him. He's broken, he's hurt, and he's in the desert all alone, and he goes to sleep. Using a rock for a pillow. And he has a vision. He has a dream. Now, I want to say this. I have a dream. You have a dream. Right, Bridge of Hope? We have a dream to see Alaska filled with the glory of God. We have a dream to see everyone know His goodness. We have a dream to share the gospel with every town, city, and village in Alaska. So as I was thinking about the story of Jacob, I was thinking about that. I actually fell asleep and I had a dream. I had to put this together later, Zach. I woke up and I was praying to the Lord. Lord, where do you want to send us? That's you and me. That's us. Where do you want to send us next? We've been to 120 villages. What next? And then I saw this picture of Bethel. Man, it was so clear. And I saw an open heaven over Bethel. And I saw the glory of God just like open over Bethel. And then I saw from that the light and the presence, just like that visitation. See, one encounter with God can change your life. Just like Jacob. Go read it. Okay, I can't preach it now. But anyway, one encounter can change your life. And I was thinking about Bethel and seeing the glory of God just pouring out. And from there, just going from different villages around Bethel. And many of you know Bethel is a hub in Alaska. And as I woke up, God downloaded this vision for us, the Church of Alaska. And to do this Bethel blessing, this outreach, which I believe is going to be a catalyst to revival in all of Alaska. Why Bethel? I have no clue. But I do know this, in the Bible, when Jacob had that visitation, he said, all the nations will be blessed through you. When Jacob woke up from that vision and had that encounter with God, he said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And surely the presence of the Lord is here in Bridge of Hope, is in you. And so this is what I saw. Okay, I'll have to tell you later. We'll connect and stuff like that. But this is all of us together throwing down. This is a unified effort to reach the 30 villages that surround Bethel. We're going to have a 7-day outreach in Bethel, from Bethel, and there's going to be a 24/7 house of prayer for 7 days, nonstop. Calling on the Lord, the presence of God. And from that place of the presence of God, we're going to send teams out to the 30 villages that surround Bethel. And from that place, in that place, we're going to do some evangelistic training and equipping, partnering with indigenous leaders. And we are going to, again, we're going to see teams. We had the Valley Pastors Prayer Network that are all on board. Just last week, I was in Bethel, and I shared this vision, and one of the pastors was just in tears the whole time. You know, I didn't know. I tested the waters, you know. And then all these pastors, they were Moravian pastors. They were Baptist pastors. There were Nazarene. There was like a Catholic priest. All these pastors were going, we're in. We're all in. And then the pastor that I stayed with was just in tears. He said, Bill, you don't know how huge that is. Guys, I'm telling you, this is a season of favor. When you see pastors like that break down walls, come together for one purpose. So this is what it's going to be. It's going to be in mid-August. I'll give you the exact days later. But we're going to need worshipers to man that house of prayer. We're going to need people to train and equip, people that will stay there in the hub. We're going to need people to host these teams, you know, to feed these teams and encourage these teams as they come, you know, into Bethel and out of Bethel. I mean, we're going to need some people to inspire and fire up these people, because remember, it's coming from the presence of God to these different places. And in every village, we're going to train different teams to do the committed to life school assembly, and then different teams will be sharing the gospel in the evening. So that's it, the Bethel blessing, and I believe what happens there is going to, people are just, they're not going to miss it. When you see the church come together and impact a region like this, man, wow, Bridge of Hope, you are that bridge, you are the connection. Thank you so much. Gunos Chis, we'll be connecting more later, and we'll be teaming up to go. Someone say go.
Go.
It's all about going.
Okay, maybe that was a little over 5 minutes. That's all right. We have lots of room with grace, Bill.
Hearts of men, broken walls,
So as we sang that song, that was the beginning moment of Broken Walls, of the ministry of Broken Walls, of what God has called me to. And you notice on the end of that song, I started singing that really high chant, right? That, when I start singing that, I was singing that before, what's his name now, that famous guy, Paul Hughes, you heard of him? He's like this guy who studied worship in very deep manner, and he studied the tones, and he studied everything about it and the purpose of it. And when I started to sing that, he went into a vision. And he said that that was the cry of the people who have been subjugated and who have been held back from their destiny. He said that was the cry in the spirit that came out for their freedom. He said, so when you sang the song, God gave you the words of love to break walls, and then he gave you that shout so that people could hear the pain. Because you could hear pain in that chant almost, can't you? It's a cry out like, help me! That's what it is. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. For he is our peace who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now, it's not a very deep message I'm going to carry, but yet it's probably the most deep message. You know, I'm not going to have to say a whole lot for you guys to know that love conquers all. Love is what we've got to focus on. When I look at these boxes over here, I stood there thinking as we prayed over these boxes, the hands of those children that are going to pick up these boxes, their lives are going to change just as they open those boxes. Because we're not giving those boxes just so they'll get some tinker toys. We're giving those boxes because we're releasing the anointing through what's in them. We're releasing like the cloths that were carried, that Paul carried and gave out after he prayed. We're releasing. We need to think on things in that spiritual manner. So let's go to the next one. The river of life is something that God has been flowing through Broken Walls, through Bill, through what I've been doing, through Josh. Josh and his lovely wife have been so kind to me and so caring and loving to me. It just is, it's shown me that there are real people who really know who Jesus is. You know, because I've never felt a moment of not wanted or if I was imposing. They've always made me feel totally loved and at peace. So when I'm at Josh's house, I might as well be in my own house. You know, that's the way I feel when I'm there. Although my wife isn't there, that really changes things. Next one. Basic principles of love is not being arrogant, not doing things our way, but it is honoring protocol. And Lauren Cunningham said, we honor our Creator when we honor His people. And I said, we are all one, we are all His children. We are all one blood. And of course, I've written songs about that. I'm not going to sing right now. Acts 17:26, and he has made from one blood every nation of man to dwell in all the earth, and has determined that their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. That means that God liked us all. It means that he had position and caring for each one of us, and that we didn't have to line up and adapt somebody else's ideas of religion. What we needed to do was line up and accept what the Holy Spirit was going to say to us and walk in the destiny. And so this is this great movement that's happening, this awakening that's happening right now all across North America. You got to know, this is not just an isolated thing, but God is moving wherever indigenous people are. Indigenous people are waking up. You know why? Because the church is beginning to wake up. The church is beginning to see that we've done things according to man's system, and God is calling us away from man's system and calling it to the system of the kingdom. So, why am I here today? I'm here on divine purpose. Because I was ready to take my life, But 3 years before, my dad said, before I left Canada, when your back's against the wall and you have nowhere to turn, call out on Jesus. And I can remember at that time, I was so arrogant. I was so full of my rock and roll dream that I didn't really care about Jesus, and I didn't care about Christianity, because all I had seen is the hypocrisy of the church, and I didn't see the love of Jesus. And so I looked down at my dad when he said that to me, and I said, I don't need Jesus. And I know that my dad, who was a missionary for 55 years, who lived Jesus every day of his life and was a great father to me, admittedly, he gave me a few good spankings. Admittedly, I deserved them. I don't want to go too far into the spanking zone, but boy, oh boy, I think those were great times, because you know what? I learned. When I was called on the carpet and Dad said, okay, go get the switch, he made me go get his own weapon he was going to use on my butt. But you know what? It made me think a second time before I went on. He didn't do it out of anger. He did it because, you know, rather than trying to make a lesson happen, it was like one quick move, and I was like, you know, I didn't want that ever again. But that's not the point of my message. I'm just saying. I'm an advocate for that. Next one. Okay, so the power of I love you. I've had so many opportunities to see the power of I love you. I don't know if you have. If you haven't, I'm going to give you a couple keys. I can remember one day I was standing in the office with my brother in this business that him and I were partners in. And we were having a disagreement. And he got so angry. And, you know, at first I was starting to get angry too. But then I realized my place and that God called me to this brother to show him Jesus. And he got madder and madder, and I got less and less mad because I knew my purpose was to love him. And so whatever it was, he just mounted up this assault, and he came across the room and said he was going to punch me out. And he meant it. So I was braced and ready to get a good punch in the mouth, you know. And when he got over to me, I had my hands to my side, and I just looked at him. I said, have at her. I said, I love you. You're my brother, and I will never fight with you. And he threw his hands up in the air, and he said, you're impossible. And he didn't hit me. That's the power of love. You know, that sounds silly, almost silly, but that's the power of love in a blatant situation. I was in Pecangicum, a very rough community, and I may have told you this before, but I was out early in the morning taking pictures with my camera, and I was shooting the good things I could find in that village, which you really have to work to find the good things, because there's so much struggle and so much brokenness. So I was out early in the morning taking some pictures so I could show people the good points of Pecangicum, and I'm taking a picture of this one sign. And behind me, I hear this guy coming behind me, running. I'm going to punch your effing face in, he said. He said, you're just trying to make everybody see how rotten we are here in Pecangicum and how terrible our place is. And he was just like saying all this really nasty stuff and saying he was going to punch my face in. And I just turned around with my hands to my side and I said to him, I love you. I'm not here to hurt you. And he dropped his hands, and he looked at me, and tears came in his eyes, and he said, you must be Jonathan Miracle. And I said, I am. And then he started confessing to me he just had a terrible fight with his wife. The power of love. The power of love. So these little ladies here in that picture, little lady like that, when I walked into the church, and I didn't know Jesus, but I was suicidal, and I stepped inside the lobby of the church, and this little old lady, like the one on the right, walks up to me and she says, I love you. And I said, why do you love me? She says, because Jesus told me to. Everything changed. The power of love. I didn't have any idea what was going on, but just everything changed. I just felt like this loneliness was gone, this anger was gone, the addictions were gone. I just stood there basking in this wonderful presence that I had never felt before. When this little lady just said, I love you. She didn't start reading Romans 10, 9 and 10. You guys know what that is. Believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. She didn't do any of that stuff. She just said, I love you. And everything changed. And you know, 1 John 4, 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. It doesn't say everyone who's born again loves God. Everyone who loves is born again. So when we get touched by the love of Jesus, that's my excuse for saying Jesus came into my life because I was touched by the power of his love. It is amazing when we allow it to work through us in our homes. The hardest place to love sometimes is in our homes with our own family, because we have to love them beyond all. We have to suck it up. We have to be humble and kind and tender. That's so hard sometimes. The next one. So we just sang this song, Broken Walls. That was where I got the name for the ministry that God has put me in. And it says, and when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Whoa. That's pretty startling and eye-opening, isn't it? If we're living a phony Christian life, and we are walking around with offenses in our life against other people, our Father doesn't even forgive us the trespasses that we've made. Let's get it right. Let's be able to walk in that love. So in regards to this, I just want to express this situation. I was invited to Sacred Assembly, which was the greatest sacred gathering that I believe Canada may have ever had. It was a call by one of our members of parliament, who is a First Nations man named Elijah Harper from Churchill, Manitoba. And he made a call for all of the spiritual people of Canada to come together to see if we could find a way to bring healing, because there was so much suicide, so much family dysfunction, so much poverty, so much brokenness. And he, as a member of parliament, was at his wit's end. He just didn't know what to do. And so he made this call for a sacred assembly, and I was asked to come and sing Amazing Grace in Mohawk. And I said yes, because I wanted to be there amongst all those amazing spiritual people. Like, for me, it was just go and sing a song and kind of like be a token Native musician in this situation where all the different denominations were there, but all the different traditional spiritual people, non-Christian people, were there too. But I was there to sing Amazing Grace in Mohawk. And so as I sat there, this elder who was speaking, his name was John Sanford, the leader of a ministry called Elijah House, and he has written tons of books about inner healing. They called him the father of inner healing, and he was half Native, which was really cool. And so he was talking about the walls of bitterness that have been built within the hearts of the indigenous people of the world because of the acts of colonialism, because of manifest destiny, because of the doctrine of discovery. Have you ever heard that phrase, doctrine of discovery? That's a term that talks about how the displacement of indigenous people all over the world has happened. Because of those things, there were walls of bitterness that were built in the hearts of indigenous people that must be broken. And I'm happy to say that in Alaska, as I've traveled with Bill across Alaska, we've been seeing walls of bitterness change. We've been seeing people stepping up and claiming Jesus into their lives, and there's been real breakthrough. And we've been doing it with a cultural perspective, which is very different. And sometimes First Nations people are the first to point a finger at us and say, that's wrong, you're not supposed to do that. Because the church has taught our people for several hundred years that how and who we are is not of God. And unfortunately, why First Nations and Indigenous people have a bad estimation of themselves is because we've been taught. We've been taught that you have to accept somebody else's culture in order to have Jesus. And so our people have been born and grown up with that situation of not measuring up like everybody else. So our duty as the church is to do what? Is to reinstate identity. Reinstate that understanding of who God has created us to be. We can go to the next one. Okay, so I want to take it a little deeper and just talk about who we are. So clearly hear his voice. I sang that song earlier for you, so it would set the stage for this next part. When I ask you, who are you? I'm not just asking you your name and where you're from, but I'm asking you, who are you? The deep spiritual question, who are you? Do you know that you're a son or a daughter of God, of the Creator? Do you realize the importance of being able to walk in that authority? The authority of Christ gives us the ability to go anywhere. And sometimes through religion, they have said, oh, you can't go over there. They're evil. You can't go over there because they're doing stuff that's not right. Well, the whole purpose of Christ coming was so that we could go there and we could have that authority to go in and establish the love of Jesus Christ and to break the walls of blindness that are on people who have religion rather than love. Yeah. Woo! So, everyone has potential, but our potential is unharvested because we have limited ourselves. So I was 30 when I accepted Jesus into my life. It changed everything about who I was. But you know what? I'm half Scottish. And you guys know this. You've probably heard me say this before. I'm half Scottish and I hated my Scottish heritage because I grew up in a community of dark-skinned people in Akwesasne. Akwesasne is upstate New York. It's a Mohawk community, very hardcore, anti-white. They, you know, they're accepting white now because they're finding ways of making money. And so there's an acceptance of the greater population of the dominant culture because it's giving you a chance to succeed. But deep set inside, there is a distrust and in many a hatred that has to be broken. It has to be broken. But how do we step into our potential? So I was 30. I accepted Jesus for 10 years. I continued to love Jesus and continued to start being a worship leader, continued to sing and play and travel and speak and do all these things, and I didn't even like who I was. I didn't even accept who I was. I would look in the mirror and I'd see my blue eyes. I'd look in the mirror and see my light skin and I'd go, ooh. Literally, in my heart, I would look at myself and say, why? Why do you have to look like this? That's because I grew up in a village of dark-skinned people who persecuted me as a young man, as a boy growing up, persecuted because my skin was the wrong color and my eyes were blue. And so I would raise up and I would get angry and really hate it. And I'd say to God in my conversations with him when I was praying, why did you call me to a First Nations ministry? I don't even look Native. Why would you do this to me? But I knew I had to be faithful to the calling. And 10 years, I plodded on trying to be faithful and hating who I was. And so I was in Rapid City, South Dakota, and I was a keynote speaker for the night. And right before I went on, of course, I was prepping in the green room. And I went to the mirror, and I looked in the mirror, and once again, what do you think I thought? Those dang blue eyes. That white skin. And you're going out to speak on behalf of First Nations people. And I looked disgusted at myself again. Right before I go out to speak about Jesus. Right before I go out to tell people about the goodness of God. And then the Holy Spirit just rushed in. He had his moment right there, and he said, "See yourself as I see you, my son. My son, see yourself as I see you." And I looked in the mirror, and I started to cry. So here I am, about ready to go out in front of all the people, just like, you know, started crying. I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't have to hate my Scottish heritage any longer. I can actually go out there and be free and accept who God's created me to be. And it felt so good. There was a liberty that came into me. There was a freedom. It was like being born again. You know, when I had that experience with the little old lady, well, this one was just almost the same. I was just like, oh, the freedom that came. And so, there I am. I go out and I'm standing in front of like 300 people. And the first thing I did was I had to confess that I had been carrying this. I was not honest in that I was carrying Jesus and I was doing it with all my heart, but some of my heart still hated my Scottish, right? But now, God had just shown me, it set me free. I walked out there and I just blurted it out. And I'm crying. I blurted it out through tears. After they announced me, I come up and I'm just crying and I look down at them and I say, I have embraced my Scottish heritage. I'm no longer ashamed of it. I'm never going to look away from it. I'm going to embrace it and I'm going to be a Scottish Mohawk. And this Scottish guy got up and left. He was sitting halfway back in the middle and he just got up and left. I mean, when I say Scottish guy, he was a Scottish guy. I mean, he was visibly a Scottish guy. And so I thought right away, how did I insult him? What did I do? Because he left. And so I had to give this message for 45 minutes. And I finish up the message. And the whole time I'm giving it, all I could think about was that I insulted the very person that I wanted to be able to run out and grab a hold of and hug and say, I love you, had left. What did I do? Well, the door opens and in he comes and he's carrying a sword. This big sword. That sword. And he's walking down the aisle towards me with that sword. And I didn't know what I had done so bad that he had to go get his weapon of choice and come after me with it. So I grabbed the nearest mic stand, thinking that I may have to defend myself. I'm good with a mic stand, you know. And so he came down, and when he got to the edge, he went down on his knees, and he held the sword up over his head and said, "Welcome to your Scottish heritage." And I took that sword from him. And I cried so much that day because I was born again. It's so important for you, if you know Jesus, allow yourself to be born again. Be who God's created you to be. Embrace the good things that He's given you. Just know right off the bat that you are His son. You are His daughter. And don't be ashamed. Embrace who you are. Say that with me. Embrace who you are. So amazing. Next one. And as you embrace that, you need to be a gift to others. Right? See yourself as a gift. The life that Jesus Christ died for is a sacred gift that was given to us. And we need to embrace that gift. And as that gift rises up and becomes full in our lives, we need to know what the gifts are that the Creator has placed in our lives, and we need to release those gifts to others. And that's what Bill does. That's what Bill does here in Alaska. He takes the gifts that God has given him. He can give 5 minutes of fire. Well, 12 minutes of fire or whatever, you know. But he can give the fire because he's got a gift. And he's excited to see change. And God gives him ideas and gives him plans and strategies. And he's applying himself to those things. And you know, it's not easy. It's not easy. There's so much sacrifice that goes along with what we do. But it's because we believe. Do you believe? If you believe, you can act. And if you act, you will change lives. And if you do, your community will become flourishing the way God wants it to flourish as a kingdom community. Okay. Okay, so we did the song Call of the Drum. God showed me in a word, another word from the Holy Spirit. It says the drum is the symbol of the restoration of your people. So he said, play the drum. And you know, when God showed me that I was supposed to play the drum at the sacred assembly, and I sang my first song, which wasn't, by the way, Amazing Grace. Remember at Sacred Assembly I was going to sing Amazing Grace? Well, instead, I sang that song, Broken Walls, and I wrote it right on the spot. Right there, I wrote that song before I went up. And instead of singing Amazing Grace, I sang that song. And right as soon as I finished, there was a little lady standing behind me, and she put her hand on my shoulder. Another little lady, of course, right? Another little lady who was responding to what the Holy Spirit was saying. I just so love the elders when they break out of those situations and begin to not be held back by the fact that they're an elder and they're not useful anymore. Elders, step up and take your place. You've got the life experience. You've got the spiritual knowledge and know-how to help the people. And we, as younger people, I am willing to sit at the feet of elders. Sometimes they want to sit at my feet, so yeah, okay. So, but I mean, I'm willing to sit at the feet of elders and hear what they have to say. Are you? Sometimes you got to listen to a crusty elder too. Sometimes the stories they have to say aren't stories you want to hear that much. But there are stories that are important to them. And if we will take the time to listen to those stories, we will grow. Whether the stories have a negative or a positive, we still can take from that and we can grow. But we need to listen to elders. Why? Because they have the life experience that we need to go on. You know, you can always go to Google, right? You can get everything from Google. You don't have to go to the elders. I don't think that's the way God meant for things to work. I think God wants the flesh and blood, the soul to carry that message that carries us into the next millennium, that carries us into the next thing we're going to do. It's about honor. And sometimes we have to be very humble because sometimes we're going to sit at the feet of somebody we may not super respect. But if we take the time to listen, we will walk away from it with something. Yeah. Some of my greatest lessons have been learned from people that I had a hard time listening to. There's a change that's sweeping across the land. And I get to be a part of it. Say that. I get to be a part of it. Yeah, say it again.
I get to be a part of it.
Yes. We're here because you guys opened the door for us to come. We're working in the studio. We're doing stuff here because you have opened the door and you're being a part. And I believe God is going to pour out on your church and on this place because of your kindness to Broken Walls and your kindness to Carry the Cure and your kindness to Josh and his wife. I believe, and I'm going to speak it now in Jesus' name, I just call forth the release of the Holy Spirit to come and to just stir up some great things within this church, to be able to release this church, to be able to do what God has called it to do. And it is going to be a direct result of the seeds you're sowing. Direct result of the seeds you're sowing. Hope is stirring for healing, partnership, and destiny. Healing first. Because our First Nations people here in Alaska, across Canada, across the lower 48, we all still are desperate for healing. There is so much pain and suffering. Like I said, there's so many suicides that are happening. It's mind-boggling, the struggle and the poverty. I mean, we have, in Canada, our villages, so many villages don't even have running water. Don't have toilets and running water. That's just the normal thing for everybody. Everybody in this beautiful first world country all have all these amenities. that we just take for granted. We can go turn on the water, no big deal. It's just water and it's there. But in Pecanjikum, a little old lady will take a sled in 50 below zero and have to walk 2 miles with her sled with two great big jugs, plastic jugs on the back, and walk down and go there and get water at the community well. And then turn around and pull that home. And if there isn't a young person or somebody that's stronger to help them, they have to do it alone. And unfortunately, because of the teachings that they've had and because of the way they use drugs and the way alcohol and family dysfunction is hit, the young people don't care. They can watch an elder go by pulling. I'm not saying that. There are great people there. There are people who will and who do. But I'm saying that there is this insidious thing of disrespect. We have to respect one another whether we like one another or not. And if we don't like one another, we need to deal with that because that needs to be fixed. But we have to respect one another because you are a child of God. And if I disrespect you, I'm disrespecting God. Is that right? So every time that you decide that you're going to call somebody an effing whatever, not that you guys would, but if you're on the highway and somebody cuts you off, oh, I know that pinches a nerve for me because that really is a tough one when someone has bad driving skills. If there's anything that can get me all worked up, it's the guy who rides my tail at 110 kilometers an hour, and he's like this close to me, and I can't even see his bumper in my rearview mirror. I want to slam on my brakes and take whatever happens because it just ticks me off, right? But that's what we have to learn to overcome, isn't it? We have to learn to overcome those kind of things. And those kind of feelings come in so many ways, especially in family life. God's called us to places we've never been before. Maybe not all of us want to go to those places, but all of us have a part to play in sending those who God has called as the sent ones to go. So Bill is a sent one. Bill is somebody that somebody put their hand on and said, go into these villages. Go into these places and see the people of Alaska set free. Bill is a sent one. And Bill goes into those places because he's obedient. He's carrying his gift. He's releasing his gift. And as a result, what's happening? These villages are becoming suicide free. These villages are becoming people that are touched by the Holy Spirit and that are touched with His love and that are getting born again. Because he says, I accept the call and I will go. Will you? Will you either support that call or be a part of it yourself? Those are the questions that we have to answer in our lives. So Indigenous people here in Alaska and the Indigenous people of Canada and Indigenous people around the world were just as important to God as the society who controls everything. God gave me 2 mandates through my father before my father died. And he said, go to the white men, tell them what he's done to our people so our people can forgive him and that relationship can begin. He also said, go to our people and tell them, Jesus Kanaronkwa, Jesus is the loving medicine that will heal you. It's very simple. God sent me to break down walls and to build relationship so that we can together change the world using the unique gifts and talents that we have. And as First Nations people, how will we respond? Next one. The vision in our hearts needs to be partnership. Richard Twiss, who is one of my close friends, somebody who I We had the vision in 1995, almost literally at the same time. When we called each other on the phone, when he called me and said, hey, will you come and lead worship for a big gathering we're having? I had just gone through the experience where God showed me I needed to start playing the drum and singing as a First Nations man. And he said, I want you to come and sing and open our big gathering in Kansas City. Right across from the House of Prayer, we went as First Nations and we had our first gathering. And Richard Twiss, he had a vision from God and he said, God has called our people to go to the world because we have favor wherever we go except in our own homeland. He said, when we go to Tibet, when we go to Germany, when we go to France, when we go to Australia, when we go to these places, we see favor on us. No people group on earth is better positioned for world evangelism than the First Nations people of North America. That's what he said. Richard died 5 years ago on the steps of the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. He had a heart attack. And it was a great loss for us because he had just got his Ph.D. in theology. And he was going to find out the stuff in the Word and make sure that we were doing it right. And as First Nations people, he helped us to make sure that the drum was not evil. He helped us to understand that the rattles are not evil, but evil resides in the hearts of men. Evil resides in the place in the spiritual realm. It's not about the drum. I've said it a million times to you probably, but those drums are made in Japan. Back there, your drums. So it's not about the instrument. It's about the musician who has given himself. When I sit down to a drum, if that drum was used for a cursing to do something against people, when I sit down to it, it's broken, that curse. It's broken in Jesus' name. Because when I sit down to the drum with Bill and Josh, we sit down under the anointing of Jesus Christ, and it says where two or three are gathered together and shall do and speak any one thing, it shall be done. And so we call heaven down as we play. That drum doesn't have power over us. We have power over the drum. Woo! Well, Billy Graham... So, native guy, white guy. They're both agreeing on the same thing. 1975, Billy Graham said to a room full of native leaders, "You are a sleeping giant, the original American. You are now awakening just around the corner. You may become a spiritual superpower in this country that could change not only America but the world." He agrees with what we're doing. And I have gone across, I've gone around the world and have yet to do so much more. And in all of our trips and travels, we are loved when we pull out our drum, when we pull out our regalia and our dancers start dancing. Carol has witnessed it. She's seen it in Germany. We pulled out the drum and played in front of Powwow Coffee. Imagine that. In Germany, they have a coffee house called Powwow. And when we saw that, we slammed on the brakes of our Jeep, and we turned around, we went back, and we said, "Hey, can we set up in front of Powwow Coffee and do a song for you guys?" He said, "One song? No." He said, "Play a whole bunch, you know." So we set up, and we started playing, and German people just came all around. People came all around. There was a Muslim wedding happening just across the way, and they said, "Will you come and play for our wedding, for the wedding couple?" So we went over there and we played. We didn't say, "Oh no, you're Muslims." We went and released the love of Jesus in them with a song like "Holy One." Because we declare the Holy One is Jesus Christ. We don't have to be all pushy about it and be religious. We just have to go and carry the love and release it. And for the rest of their lives, they'll remember that native group that came. And why did it feel so good when they sang? Why did it not like feel weird, but it felt good? There was something good that happened. The gift that's on First Nations people to carry the message of the gospel is profound. And when we go into those places, we can bring change. So part of the purpose of saying this is So what do we have to do? We have to establish First Nations people in who they are. We have to be able to not lord it over them as the church and get them to be like us, but we need them to be who they are. And it's when each one of us become who we are that we become a stronger body of Christ. And the body, I believe the body's getting better. I bet you that if we were to look at the body of Christ and it was a human body, and we were seeing this picture on the wall, I believe that that body is starting to take shape and starting to look like a body, because I have more hope today than I've ever had before in the message that I carry. I have been called to do things that I've never been called to do before. I've been called to go places and speak before large gatherings. I was just in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago, and I was a main speaker for one of the events, and it was awesome. I mean, they just listened. I'm sharing a message like this, and they just listened, and they wanted it. I was talking about indigenous instruments. I have a full message that I talk about being able to embrace the indigenous sound. And when I shared that message with them, it just broke a whole people loose. And there was a traditional drum group leader at that gathering, and he sat there mesmerized by the things I was saying. And you know what? He gave his heart to Jesus. It was amazing. His sister came and said, "Because of your message, my brother gave his heart to Jesus." Well, I cried. Because that's what I do. Because God has broken my heart. Broken my heart for you. Broken my heart for Alaska. For the indigenous people here. And wherever people are broken. Just, you know, God has got to touch that tenderness in you so that that's what responds. Not the anger. We can be angry at the enemy. That's what we have to, that's where the real warrior's got to come up. The real warrior's got to tell the enemy, go to hell. Take your hands off my family. Go to hell. Take your hands off the people I love. Go to hell. Take your hands off those people I don't even know yet that are struggling. In Jesus' name, release life. Release life wherever you go. Release life and release love. What would we do without that love? Love has been tossed around in North America, hasn't it? That word love is tossed around and used as a way to describe sex, used as a way to describe things, it's been cheapened. But the word love is a love that was given to us by God when He sent His Son, the lover of all. Lord, make us your lover of all. Give us hearts of rescue. Give us hearts so that we will be able to sacrifice and go and do what needs to be done. Give us hearts so that we will be able to support those willing to go and do. But Lord, guide us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, guide us in each step we take in what we do. Pour out your love on us, Jesus. Pour out your love and teach us, Lord. I pray that you would open up the eyes, open up the supernatural eyes of everyone here so that they can see the vision of what the future will look like. Open up the ears of each person here, Lord, the supernatural ears to hear your Holy Spirit when He's speaking. Even at the time when I looked into that mirror, hating my Scottish heritage, Lord, as I looked into the mirror, your love touched me. Your love touched me. As I listened to your Holy Spirit, Lord, I just pray that each person here would have those paradigms in their life when they're touched by that love. So, Lord, we speak love, and I speak life over the Bridge of Hope right now. I speak love and life over Peter's Creek and all, wherever you come from, that there would be an extension of that love. And, Lord, I'm just speaking right now to the weights that each person is struggling with, the struggles that we have. I'm speaking to those struggles, and I'm saying, in Jesus' name, show us how we don't have to battle with those struggles any longer. Show us, Lord, how you said that cast your care upon me, for I care for you. Those struggles that we are struggling with, we just need to just kind of like, just tip that right off your shoulder and tip it on to Jesus. That's what Jesus gave his life for. He gave his life so that we could be set free. He gave his life so that our eyes would be open, so we could see beyond the flesh and see and hear into the spiritual realm. Is it okay if we do a song for you?
Yeah.
Okay. I just really feel impressed to do the song Rise Up, Mighty Warrior, because that's what I'm calling on you guys to do. I know you guys are beautiful people here. I've ministered with you before, and I know that God's doing great things here, but you know, I want you to take it just a little bit deeper this morning. I want you to allow God to just touch you in that innermost being that you are, and understand that you are a child of our Creator. And allow that to manifest in your life. And then don't let me tell you what to do. Let the Holy Spirit show you what to do. And some great things are going to happen. I also want to say thank you on behalf of my family at home for giving me a place to come today. My wife has been such a blessing to me. She allows me to go. She gives me that freedom to go. And I just want to say how much I appreciate that of her. So if you could hold my family up in prayer, I would truly, truly appreciate that. The one who was rejected because of hardness in their hearts, the one who took the pain, he paid the price for our new start. This very one who died, he gave us reason to live, to give love to those who mistreated us, and a heart to forgive. To all who suffered at the hands of another, come out from the bitterness, come out from the shame. We're the God of creation. He's calling out your name. Turn to those with love who have only brought you at the hands of another. Come out from the bitterness, come out from the shame. We're the God of creation. He's calling out your name. Turn to those with love who have only brought you. So rise up, mighty warrior. It's an honor to be here and to be able to share that love. And I feel it. I feel it in your eyes. I feel it in your the way you're responding. I feel that God is touching you. And so I would just say, let the cords of love that can't be broken bind our hearts together.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you all so much for coming. Listen, you've got some things out there.
I do.
Okay. So
please take it all.
Yeah, there's some things that Jonathan brought with him for sale out in the foyer. So you should stop by his table. And there's also the sign-up sheets for Christmas of Hope. Don't forget to go sign up. And questions about Operation Christmas Child, see John and Tanya. So thank you so much. Blessings on you. You're dismissed.